flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Bum, 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 bum. 302, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 1 hour down, still two left to cook with. Up until 5 o'clock and the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. So the last caller asked me real quick, we don't have to do it a lot, but I promised it and I teased it. The five most the five most likely teams to win a championship here in this city. Now, if we're doing just pro, can St. John's win? Can St. John's win an NCAA tournament championship with Rick Pitino at the helm? Right now, the 15th best team in the country? I would have to say there's a chance, so I'm going to put them at number... I'm going to put the Jets at number 5. I'm going to put the Jets at number 5. I know Fliegelman's giving me the look over there. If they bring back Aaron Rodgers, and this is a legitimate coach in AG, I wouldn't expect it. I certainly wouldn't feel as good about it as I did last year. I mean, I guess I could put the Devils 5, but they're right there. Jets and Devils... I think the Rangers you have to put on the back burner right now. The NHL, anything could happen in the NBA, in the NHL playoffs, and the Devils currently are in the playoffs. I'm probably being unfair to them, but I just can't say Devils. So I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take the Jets, number 5. I'll take St. John's, number 4. The third most likely, I'm going to take the New York Mets. Obviously, we know how good they are. I still think they're just in an incredibly... They have the super team that is the Los Angeles Dodgers. They have, you could argue, the top 5 teams in baseball all reside in the National League. That is very difficult. I'll take the Knicks right now, number 2. And number 1, the New York Yankees. What a shocker. McMonagle picked the Yankees. Well, they happen to play in the American League, and they are the best team in the American League. No one else on this list can say that right now on paper, they are the favorite to make the championship game or World Series, or that's that the New York Yankees right now today on paper are the favorite to come out of the American League. So you could think, oh, they'll get killed by the Dodgers. That's more than likely. Certainly the Dodgers are a far better team, or the Braves or the Phillies or the Mets, if you want to say. I think they're on par with the Mets. If the Mets were in the American League, they would be number one on this list. If the Yankees were in the National League and the Mets were in the American League, they would be number one on this list. But because the Yankees are in the American League, they're the far best team in the American League. They were in the World Series last year. They're the favorite to get back to the World Series out of the American League. And then it's just a matter of finding a way to win a seven-game series. So I'm going to go Jets / Devils number five. Johnny's at number four. Mets at number three. New York Knicks at number two. The New York Yankees, the most likely team to end this championship drought in the city. 888-808-1019. If you want to call me on that and yell about my list, welcome. Come on in. But let's get to Phil in Bayside. What's up, Phil?
Yeah, hi. First-time caller, first-time listener. And I want to talk about number four, St. John.
Yes.
I really want to talk them up. I think they are should be the talk of the town. Saturday night, you're going to get a doubleheader win, St. John's in the afternoon and the Knicks in the evening. Want to know what's your thoughts? I heard some of it about St. John's.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd be lying to you if I told you that I could speak, you know, very eloquently about St. John's. Here's what I know. I know they've got a talented roster and a coach who is, and I heard Gio's promo right before coming back from break. I mean, Rick Pitino is a program builder. Rick Pitino is a winner. Last year, I was critical of Rick Pitino and some of the comments he made, you know, just bashing the team. And then they played their most inspired and best basketball the rest of the way. Rick Pitino is an incredible, incredible college basketball coach. Incredible. And within a year, he has them 9-1 in the conference and 18-3 overall and the 15th best team in the country. Richmond's a legitimate player. They've got a deep team. They're a physical team. I mean, they just had their way with Georgetown. I trust the coach. And I heard the promo, like I said, from Gio, who talked about the Jets, and that was the kind of coach you're looking for. That's what I wanted too. I agree with Gio. I wanted the program builder. I wanted the guy who come in here with experience, who's proven to turn teams around and win. I wanted Pete Carroll. I wanted Mike McCarthy. Even though they have flaws, even though Mike McCarthy has won the Super Bowl only once. I mean, only once, but has had some, you know, big time losses. That's what I wanted. And Rick Pitino, and I've loved Rick Pitino going back forever. I've been a big Rick Pitino guy. Me and my friends, you know, when I was growing up, the 96 Wildcats, the 96 Kentucky Wildcats were our team. Tony Delk and Walter McCarty and that team. Like, we love that team. Even though I was a North Carolina guy growing up because I wanted to root for Jordan on some level because I respected him so much, but I couldn't as a Knick fan, that I gravitated to his basketball team, and I loved the color, and my mother once bought me, or I don't know who got it for me, but I had a North Carolina Tar Heel, you know, North Carolina blue, one of those basketball hoop garbage pails. I don't know why, but I had it, and that, so I was like a North Carolina guy, but we all fell in love with that 96 Kentucky team. I mean, they were great. And watching him on the sidelines and then now the white suits and everything else, and to have him here in this city, I mean, he immediately changes a program. Immediately. And so right now, you got a team that's winning and a coach that's been there, done that, and knows how to win these games. They are a dangerous team. They're a dangerous team. And we'll see if they're the talk of the town. I believe it to be a pro town. And not a college town, and we talk about how, you know, St. John's bad for a long time, but I'll tell you what, if they make the tournament, I'm going to see if my man John Minko wants to come on. I don't do a lot of guests, I don't do any guests, but I will tell you that, Johnny fans, if and when they make the tournament, I will have Minko on. I got to talk to my man Mink. It's been too long. But right now, 9-1 in the conference, 18-3 overall, the 15th best team in the country. And you mentioned they're playing on Saturday before the Knicks and the Laker game. They are playing Providence on Saturday. They've got a big game against Marquette on the 4th. UConn's another. So they got Marquette, UConn, both in the top 25 in the country right now. And the Big East tournament's going to be fun. And then they'll get to the, you would think they'll get to the tournament. And that's when we will get more into them. But they have a chance. That would be, listen, you get Rick Pitino in a game, a tight game, you know, in a tournament game, you're going to take Rick Pitino. And this guy is one of the great coaches in the history of basketball. That's how I feel about him. I think most people do. I know he's got his issues. I know he's bounced around lately because of those issues. I know he said he was retiring. I know Siena was going to be his last job. And then he took the St. John's job. Other jobs might open up. Iona, not Siena, I'm sorry. Iona. But he is a great head coach, and he's got this team playing great basketball right now. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, what's going on, Dan? How you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. You know, I heard you say something, and it seems to be a drumbeat that's going on a lot now. And I'm trying not to get too carried away with it, so I wanted to ask you to see just how firmly you really believe it. Everybody's trying to sell me on the fact that, and I'm not saying that I'm not happy with the moves that we've made as far as the pivot moves and everything, mm-hmm. but people keep trying to sell me on this idea that, you know, and not that they have to work too hard, but that the Yankees are this massive favorite in the American League. Are we not, like, you know, because me personally, you know, between Detroit, who you saw as a young team last season that was on the come up, all they doing is getting, like, you know, adding a couple pieces, but just getting that more, you know, much more experience as far as coming out next season. Mm-hmm. Baltimore's still out there. You know, Toronto doesn't really scare me because they always seem to turn out to be paper tigers. But, you know, you still got Cleveland. You still got Kansas City. They're young. They're trying to figure things out. But for some of the knocks that a lot of these teams went through last year, like, nobody thinks that they're really any kind of a threat to me. Like, you know, like, I just don't want to get too far gone and carried away. Because, like I said, I appreciate the pivot moves that we've made,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, those teams are still, you know, even the Red Sox are still lurking out there and still doing things, and, you know, and it's still going to be a bit of a struggle to get through the American League. You don't feel that way at all?
No, I mean, I didn't put them in the World Series. Someone asked me, I would say they're the favorite to win the American League. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They are, betting-wise, they're plus 300, the favorite. The next favorite is the Orioles and Houston at plus 550. I'm just telling
you. Even Houston. Nobody scares you?
Yeah, I mean, they all scare me. I'm not telling you that they're in the World Series. Don't worry about it. I'm just telling you they're the favorite and most likely to get there. I don't think there's another team better than the New York Yankees. Doesn't mean they can't lose to them. I just happen to think the Yankees are the best team in the American League. But, of course, they all scare me. I mean, the Yankees haven't played well against the Red Sox when they've been clearly better than the Red Sox. I mean, Houston always has kicked the Yankees' ass every time they faced them. I'm not telling you I go into a Houston series, you know, waving the, hey, we're the favorites, pom-pom. I'll be terrified. Right. But, don't you think they're the best team?
I feel good about our chances, but I just don't want to, like, whatever's out there. I got another question.
They have the best rotation. They have the best back end of the bullpen, and their lineup is, in the American League, probably at least no worse than top three in the American League right now. They have the best rotation, in my opinion, right there with Seattle. So they have the 1A rotation.
Even Seattle, I didn't even mention them.
But, I mean, they don't make the playoffs. They don't hit ever. I mean, these teams, you know, you're talking about the Tigers. They had an incredible run last year. You think the Tigers are going to be this good this year? Like, I don't know. Maybe
they might come out with a little bit more confidence.
They went on a great run. They were playing with as much confidence as possible, and they lost to a Guardians team that the Yankees had their way with.
All right. Then the next thing I want to get to, we talked a little bit about it. I don't think I spoke to you about it, but there was a lot of sound that they played yesterday with some of the interviews with Hal. And mm-hmm. then the stuff that was going on with Boone when he was on Sal and BT.
Yeah.
But, you know, Hal made I liked a lot of what I heard, and I liked the tenor of the way that the conversation has been, you know, construed by everybody else and a lot of the stuff that I'm hearing coming out after. But the one thing that I will say that I don't want to say that it scares me a little bit, and I'm not trying to say that Hal doesn't get it either, because I think he if you listen to what he said, he totally understands it. But I think one thing that you know, his comments kind of got away from a little bit. You got to keep in mind, and I'm not one of these that's trying to say, because you heard what I just asked you about our chances. So right. I'm not like booking anything that, you know, we guaranteed to see the Dodgers next year. But, you know, with what he was talking about with the Dodgers, don't miss the point that a lot of what they're doing, even now with some of these extra signings, what feels like extra signings, are really, because he mentioned something about them, like, you know, they got to stay healthy through the year. You got to hope that they do the same things. A lot of what they're doing is actually buying depth. You know what I'm saying? They already did it last year with half a team. You know, considering that Otani didn't even pitch last year, half the pitchers weren't even around last
season. No, their rotation was kind of in shambles at the end.
So don't get carried away with that either, with this, like, you know, yeah, they got to stay healthy. They're almost like, and again, I'm not trying to jump on their
laurels.
I want the opportunity to take them. But
I thanks for the call, Val. I appreciate it. I think you're looking into the wrong aspect of the conversation about the Dodgers. Yes, he said you got to stay healthy, because he's been part of his own teams that have been the best team in the American League and couldn't stay healthy, or have been a far better team than they've showed in the postseason, in part, I know the Yankee fans don't want to hear this, but in part because of injuries, particularly 2022. But, like, that's not the part that's really making news, to be totally honest with you. It's about, like, yeah, they're good enough even to withstand injuries. I agree. On some level, you look at their rotation, they could withstand two injuries easy, two, three injuries. They have a bunch. They have a bunch of starters now that they've added Snell and getting healthier, and going to have, you know, Glasnow and Otani, and they've added Roki Sasaki. I mean, there's no doubt. They have plenty of depth at the rotation. If they get injured the same level they got injured last year at the rotation, they'll be in even better standings than they were this year, and they won the World Series. So 100%. But that's not the question, whether or not Hal Steinbrenner is ready to crown them champions and says they have to get through the gauntlet that is a Major League Baseball season. The point of the thing about the Dodgers is a lot of Yankee fans believe that if the Dodgers can do it, why can't the Yankees do it? And Hal Steinbrenner saying that the Dodgers are doing things most ownership groups in Major League Baseball can't do. And the reaction is, well, why can't you? What, you make more money than the Dodgers. You bring in more revenue than the Dodgers. Why can't you do what the Dodgers do? And yesterday, I got all over Hal Steinbrenner, because as much as I've defended him, and I'm about to defend him on those comments, there's a gaping hole with a team that you told me it pissed me off when he told me he was mad and has a chip on his shoulder, because he's not acting like it. They pivoted, no doubt. He offered $760 million to Juan Soto, right? They lost the World Series in embarrassing fashion in that fifth inning. Embarrassing. Didn't play well. Embarrassing. Then he loses Juan Soto, offered $760 million, and still lost him to the Mets. Now, they pivoted and spent some money, and the payroll's relatively close to last year's payroll. And while I'm about to tell you I understand why they're not the Dodgers, when you have one gaping hole, and you can fill it with Ha-Seong Kim, who just signed with the Tampa Bay Rays for 2 years and $29 million, I think he's a fine player. I'm not screaming they had to sign him, but that was an option that the Yankees aren't willing to do because they don't want to go over the luxury tax and fill an obvious hole that they have at third base. And that bothers me, because if you're pissed, if you're annoyed they lost the World Series in a disgusting fashion, if you're pissed Juan Soto and Roki Sasaki and Yamamoto and every big star out of Japan no longer wants to be a Yankee. Juan Soto didn't want to be a Yankee. He went with the Mets after you offered him $760 million. You lost the World Series in Game 5 in your building with a horrendous inning that we will never forget or live down. And you want to tell me you have a chip on your shoulder about it? Then don't let Marcus Stroman's money be the only thing that keeps you from filling the one obvious hole this team has to be the complete team. That's all I'm saying. And it doesn't have to be Alex Bregman. It could be Alex Bregman. I wish it were. I wish he was that annoyed and that had that much of a chip on his shoulder that he was willing to spend that kind of money. But I'm not even asking that. I'm asking for Kim. I'm asking for a trade for Arenado if the money's right, or a trade for Luis Arraez. Not my top option, but I'd still prefer it to what they're doing now. Or Ha-Seong Kim, or Kiki Hernandez, or someone. The idea, because that's what's being reported, and it's clear as day, he is waiting to move Stroman's money before he'll do anything. If they don't move it, it's DJ LeMahieu. And that bothers me. I understand it, but it bothers me. And it bothers me that he's going to tell me he's got a chip on his shoulder and that's where he's going to draw the line. You can't tell me you have a chip on your shoulder and you're pissed, but hey, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going a couple bucks over the luxury tax. Bothers me. It bothers me. But having said that, any Yankee fan out there, and I saw, you know, the guy Hubs, the guy from Barstool, the Yankee guy from all over the place, killing Hal Steinbrenner for talking about how he can't be the Dodgers. Wake up, people. He can't be the Dodgers. And you shouldn't expect them to be the Dodgers. All right? I don't even think Met fans expect Steve Cohen to be the Dodgers. Right now, the Los Angeles Dodgers are owned by a group that have more money than even the great king, Steve Cohen. And when they signed, because if you look at it, the numbers that they have built a better organization, that's a different element. But if you want to talk about having a $400 million payroll, if you want to talk about living in debt, $1.8 billion in debt over the next 20 plus years, if you expect the New York Yankees to do that, you're crazy. One, they have more money. Two, they didn't always have a higher payroll than the New York Yankees. I believe it's 3 out of the last 6 years, the Yankees had a higher payroll than the Los Angeles Dodgers. They were a more better-run franchise. Fine, that's a different conversation. That's a general manager conversation. That's a president of baseball operations conversation. Ownership conversation is about what they've done since they signed Ohtani. Because the second they signed Ohtani to that contract and were able to have him on the books for $40 million, push all that money aside, only have to pay him, physically pay him, $1 million a year, whatever ridiculous low number it was, and they make the revenue off of him. That is the greatest deal in the history of baseball. Ohtani's contract is the best team-friendly, excellent contract a team has ever signed. They are making boatloads of money. They own every cent dedicated to Major League Baseball out of the entire country of Japan. He is an asset, whether it be on the field or in the pocketbook, that no other player presents. $700 million over 10 years without any opt-outs, without any deferred money is a great contract, let alone the deferred money. And once they signed that contract and understood the benefits of it, they said, what the hell? Let's build this team, throw every single penny we can at it, and I don't think it lasts forever. But in the short term, and there's been some talk that you don't know how long they're going to own the team, and they're going to have a tough time selling it with a $1.8 billion of debt on the books. But once they got that contract, they said, let's get every ounce of value out of this thing. Because right now the Yankees make more money. The Dodgers will eventually, very soon, make more money in revenue than the New York Yankees. And they're pulling it all in, making a short-term super team while they have Ohtani in his prime underneath this contract. They have guys like Roki Sasaki join the team for nothing. And all of this money is being piled into a short-term, let's become a dynasty, win as many championships as we can in the short term, and then feed off of all the money we've made in the short term of being this dynasty. And we'll see what they look like in 5-6 years, because I have a sneaking suspicion they won't be this team in 5-7 years. And to expect Hal Steinbrenner, who doesn't have the money of the Guggenheim family, who has a $600+ million bill to pay every year for the building, who has to pay in the process of buying back the YES Network. Eventually, that's going to pay off and make him more money, but in the moment, he's paying debt on it. It's debt, and he's paying bills on it. He only owns 63% of the team, and he's got siblings and grandchildren who are owned. George Steinbrenner owned the team. He didn't have to pay $600 million for a building, and he was able to operate a different level. The Yankees aren't able to operate that way. Should they go out and fill third base when they have one hole to fill and not worry about being a couple million bucks over the luxury tax? You bet your ass they should. Should they go sign every premier free agent and have a $400 million payroll? Of course not. And we shouldn't ask him to do it, expect him to do it, or be pissed at him for not doing it. It's crazy. When no other team does it, he has had a top three payroll. You want to talk about Brian Cashman and the inability to make that a good enough team for your liking? It's a different conversation. The owner of the New York Yankees has had a top three payroll in Major League Baseball for forever. While other teams are able to coast and not give a damn, they make money. They make money. They don't spend it. You know how many teams have owners that have more wealth than Hal Steinbrenner and can easily put a team on the field? The Minnesota Twins, the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, they've been trying to spend money, to be fair to them. But there are so many owners. The A's owner, the Rockies owner, all more. Pirates, I think, too. All have more wealth than Hal Steinbrenner. Now, they make less money, but you know what? Maybe if they put a team together that actually won and they invested in, they'd make more money. Hal Steinbrenner has put in enough money over the years. I'm mad at this one situation this particular year. If they had five gaping holes because Brian Cashman misspent the money and, you know, Judge didn't pan out or Judge didn't become Judge or whatever the case may be, they paid him all that money and then he turned into a pumpkin, or there were holes all over the place and Hal was at $300 million, I would not be screaming, fix this hole, fix that hole, fix this hole. We need a $360 million payroll because that's what we need to go win a World Series. I wouldn't. They have one gaping hole and I believe he should be willing to go out and fill it. That's my current problem with Hal Steinbrenner at the moment. But the expectation of Tanner Scott's out there, go pay him $18 million. Why not? You're the Yankees. Hey, Alex Bregman's out there. Go pay him $180 million to steal him away from Houston. Why not? You're the New York Yankees. You've got enough money. Hey, go sign this guy. Oh, go sign that guy. Every prime free agent should be a New York Yankee. They should have all-star superstars at every single position and have a $400 million payroll. You're not living in reality. I disagree with some of the things he says and does. I do. He should fix this hole and not worry about Stroman's money. Fix third base. If Stroman's stuck on the team because you can't move him, so be it. Live with the same payroll as last year. That's all it'll be. Live with the same payroll as last year. You got a chip on your shoulder? You're pissed off about losing the World Series? Don't cut payroll and don't limit your moves while other people are being, guys you might be interested in are going off the board, but you're not willing to do it until you move Marcus Stroman. That pisses me off. Telling the New York Yankee fan that a $300 million payroll is unfeasible for the future, that's a lie as well. $300 million is perfectly feasible. $400 million and what the Dodgers are doing, I understand that's unfeasible, and I don't know why anybody would expect them to do it. But keeping the payroll as it sits presently is perfectly feasible for the next however many years. I don't agree with that statement, and I don't agree with letting third base rot because you're waiting to move a starting pitcher and get his contract off your books. Those are two things I strongly disagree with Hal Steinbrenner. But to look at what the Dodgers are doing and saying that the Yankees should be doing the same, it's just not reality. And it's unfair to him. He's not in the same position. He's not in the same position as the Dodgers. If he signed, and first of all, he would have signed Ohtani to that contract. Ohtani didn't consider coming to the New York Yankees or the East Coast. I forget who I was listening to. I don't know if it was, and they're like, well, the Dodgers put themselves in a position to make Ohtani want to come there. Yeah, but by where? Being, did they move the Dodgers? Did they move the Dodgers to Los Angeles? He rumor has it he would have stayed with the Angels if they were willing to pay. The New York, if Ohtani called them and said $700 million for 10 years with some offsetting money, the Yankees would have signed it because they know how valuable he is, both financially and on the field. And then maybe the situation would be different. The Ohtani contract is what's opened up the Dodgers to do what they've done the last 2 years. Yeah, they signed Freddie Freeman to a somewhat reasonable contract. Yeah, they traded for Mookie Betts. But they wouldn't have gone overboard like this. They wouldn't have signed Yamamoto and Ohtani. Ohtani is what makes it possible. They wouldn't have added Blake Snell and all this. Ohtani is what makes it feasible to become the super team. And we can yell and scream about how, they're built so well. But who on their team is, like, built from within? Like, everybody's from outside free agency or trades. Like, they're willing to spend money right now. And they're in a completely different situation. Like, I don't understand it. People are mad that Hal Steinbrenner is in the Dodgers. Be mad he's not fixing third base. That I get. Be mad he wants to cry poor about $300 million payroll and you shouldn't need a $300 million payroll. No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't need it. And I'm not against building a better team with less than $300 million, by all means. But it's feasible. The Yankees can live at around $300 million. $375 million, where the tax ends up being almost $100 million, so you're paying nearly $500 million. I do not expect the owner of the New York Yankees to pay $600 million for his ballpark and then pay $500 million in payroll. I don't. I don't. Neither should you. And quit acting like the man hasn't done you right. That's the thing that bothers me most. Because, on a Monday, when I'm thinking about the 2025 New York Yankees, it's fair to be pissed off about third base. That's fair. It's fair to say, hey, Hal, come on, enough. Tell Cashman he can do whatever he wants to improve the team at third base and you'll figure it out. What's unfair is to go back and say the Steinbrenner family since George died has done me wrong as a Yankee fan. You're nuts. You're nuts. I won't buy another ticket until Hal sells the team. If the Yankees are going to function, they need Hal to sell the team. You're crazy. You're crazy. Hal Steinbrenner has done just fine by you. I know they haven't won championships. I'm a Cashman shill. It's much more on Cashman than it is Hal Steinbrenner. Not even close. The Yankees not winning is far more on Brian Cashman than it is Hal Steinbrenner. And Hal Steinbrenner has done right by you. Overall, he's done right by you. There's in situations here or there. I wish he would have done something differently. I wish he would have signed this player, been willing to spend that money. Right now, I wish the hell he would be willing to fix third base. But some of the talk, I mean, it's amazing. Because he did the interview. It was like 7 o'clock at night. I came on in the morning. I yelled about the thing I heard that I didn't like, and I knew the conversation throughout the day was going to be about Hal. And it boggles my mind. How many people, how many Yankee fans are upset that they're not the Dodgers? The Dodgers, why? Like, I mean, you got the richest owner in baseball complaining about structures with Pete Alonso. How come he's not the Dodgers? Yeah, I know he signed Juan Soto to $765. I get it. The Yankees were willing to do it. The Yankees were willing to do it. Other than the suite and everything else that went with it, I kind of believe if Juan Soto went back to the Yankees and said, if you give me $765 over 15 years, I'll be a New York Yankee, I bet you they'd probably do it. He never gave them that offer, and they knew if they continued to say yes to everything, that Cohen would continue to say yes to more, and it was never going to happen. But they would have signed the contract. That the Mets signed, I think they would have, other than the accoutrements, as Boone put it in the interview with BT and Sal. But they would have given him $765 They were right there. They want to give them that kind of money. They're willing to spend. Sometimes they fall that one move short, and it's frustrating. But a bunch of crybaby Yankee fans sitting around going, why doesn't he? Why? Who has it worse than us? Why don't they spend? Why aren't we the Dodgers? I mean, I don't know. Winning 95 games every year, getting to the ALCS 4 out of the last 7 years, you know, getting to a World Series last year. No, let's cry about it. Why don't you go try and be a Pirate fan with a more wealthy owner than the New York Yankees have? Or go be a Minnesota Twins fan who couldn't beat the Yankees if their life depended on it with an owner more wealthy than the New York Yankees. That's what I'm talking about. There's frustration and then there's stupidity. And this fan base jumps back and forth over that line like no other fan.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And base, I know.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, so I get annoyed at all the Hal Steinbrenner hate. I yelled yesterday. I'm frustrated. There is a difference between frustration and, you know, borderline stupidity. And I think it's stupidity to think that the Yankees won't win until he sells the team, or that he needs to sell the team to be the Yankees again. Like, it's whoever buys the team and has to pay $600 million a year for the building is not going to spend. I'm just telling you. And again, the Dodgers, they're not, me and Fleeks are just talking about it. You also got to remember, like, I firmly believe, like, we've talked about it. Boone mentioned his fear of it. I said it a week ago. And they were talking about it again today on the Midday Show. The fear of a work stoppage. I don't know. Right now, the rest of the league looks at the Dodgers, and I don't know if they like the way the business is being operated. And if you're going to get 23 owners to agree on a deal that allows it to continue. So to me, the Dodgers, and that's why I mentioned short term, I think they're going to do this in the short term because they don't know how long they're going to be able to do this. They're going to try and win as many championships as they can. They're going to do this right now and put all the money off into the, you know, future. They might sell the team by having to pay it all then. Like, it's just, they're not treating this like their business. They're treating it like a toy, and they're treating it like something that they see the value of trying to make a lot of money, and the Ohtani contract was able to do that for them in the short term. And it's unfair. It's unfair to ask Hal Steinbrenner to be the Dodgers. It's unfair. And I don't think it's crying poverty to tell you it's unfair. I don't think that's Hal Steinbrenner crying poor by telling you, I can't be the Dodgers. He can't. The Dodgers have more money, and they signed the Ohtani contract. Provides them a big array of doing different things. 888-808-1019. Let's get right to the calls, though. Eric and Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Shima. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. You know, this is one of those rare occasions where I think both sides are right. you know, with the argument. I mean, because, you know, nobody wants to hear, you know, that their team can't do something when they've historically, you know, been known to, you know, spend money and get the players they wanted. But at the same time, you know, you also have to be realistic. See, I think one trap that a lot of the fans are falling into is hearing how much revenue the Yankees bring in and knowing the history of George and all that with how he did. But it, like you said, and many other people have said, the structure of baseball is so much different now than it was 30 years ago. I mean, you know, not to mention the fact that you have more playoff rounds and other things to factor into it. There's been a lot of change with the way things go, with you know, which is why you can't guarantee, you know, the, anything these days. And let's remember something, too, about, I don't need to tell you, you're a Yankee fan, but let's not forget, for a lot of people out there, a lot of that, you know, late 90s team for the Yankees were young guys that came up through the system.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't a whole lot that was, I mean, they didn't spend a ton of money on that team, from what I remember, to make, you know, they all grew into what they became. They, sure, they added pieces, but, you know, they weren't a $300 million team.
No, there's really no. I mean, listen, they spent on David Cone. They spent on Jimmy Key. They spent on some of the pitching.
Sure,
but,
right.
Like, you look
pieces,
at that team. Yeah, I mean, they traded for Paul O'Neill. But, like, you look at it, yeah, a lot of the, obviously, the core of that team was the young team that came through their farm system. And they would sprinkle some money around, but it really was like, who's the big superstar that they paid in free agency? Who was the, you know, big force in that? In 96, they had a bench, right? They had Strawberry, they had Cecil Fielder, they have, you know, guys like that, Wade Boggs, Tim Raines, you know, those kind of guys who they were paying to be, you know, paying former stars to be role players on some level with the team. But yeah, they didn't have any big time superstars that they were paying on, you know, big time money to in those championship years. Agreed. It kind of changed with Giambi in 02. Now, I mean, again, when you say, you know, you understand people's frustration with Hal because they're used to him spent, you know, they're used to the Yankees buying all the players they want. He still does buy all the players he wants. Like, for the most part, he offered $760 million to buy the best player he wanted. He lost out. It's a different world. George doesn't lose that, right? George never had to face a Steve Cohen. He never did. And if you are naive enough to think that if George Steinbrenner were the owner of the New York Yankees today, under the same circumstances, having to share the money the way Hal does, having to pay the $600 million for the building the way Hal does, going up against Steve Cohen, that he would have won that bidding war because he's George Steinbrenner, you're wrong. If George Steinbrenner were the owner of the New York Yankees today in his glory, in his 1977-78 glory, Juan Soto's still a New York Met. He just is. Steve Cohen wasn't going to lose. And he had a bigger stick. That's it. So, I don't know. Would the team be different? Sure. Team be different. I could tell you the manager and the general manager be different. I'll give you that for all you Boone and Cashman haters. That's for sure. But like, it doesn't guarantee winning either. But that's not the point. Like, he does still... He paid... You know, he still has a high payroll to heck. Like, you know, he doesn't spend money. He spends a lot of money. He spends more money than every other team that's won a World Series besides the Los Angeles Dodgers. Like, who's been the team? He spends more money than the Astros. They've been the kind of the team of this generation, sort of. Right? He spends more money than the Texas Rangers, who just won a championship. He spends more money than the San Francisco Giants, who won 3 in 6 years. He spends more money than teams who've won. It's not, he doesn't have to, like, it's not like he doesn't spend enough to win. Every once in a while, and it happens too often for my liking, and it's happening right now. Every once in a while, he has an option to just spend a little bit more and finish off a team and make you feel a hell of a lot better about it. And he comes up short. That's frustrating, and that's a reason to get on him. Stu in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
Tony, as usual, you're on the spot on.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. You can't expect him to go out and beat the Dodgers. But who's going to go out and have to pay $100 million luxury tax going over by $100 million?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to do that, and no. That doesn't guarantee them that they're going to win.
No.
And one number, I said this to someone. I want to ask you, are they the new evil empire?
Oh, without question. The Dodgers?
Yeah.
Oh, without question. They are, and thank you for the call, Stu. They are without question the evil empire. They are without question the most hated team in baseball. They are without question the team everybody wants to beat. They are without question the evil empire. Without question. And I, as a Yankee fan, I don't even care that they spend money. I don't even care that they beat us. I care they ran their mouth after. That's what bothers me. That's why I want another crack at them. And I'm telling you, I know we wanted, and I know I feel different than some. I would love to beat, I don't need it, but I would love to beat the Astros on the way to the World Series. I would love that. I want to exact revenge. And I'm telling you right now, believe me or not, if you could, I honestly believe this at the moment. We'll see how I feel at the end of the year. Season could happen. I don't know. If you told me right now the Yankees were in the World Series and I could pick the opponent, I would not pick the Pittsburgh Pirates. I would not pick the Colorado Rockies. I want the Dodgers. I want the Dodgers. I want to beat the Dodgers. And I know that's I'm an underdog in that series and they're great. I don't care. I want to beat them bad. Chris in Long Island, what's up, Chris?
Hey. Hello?
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Are you in the middle of, like, you know, building something? It sounds like you're cutting wood or something. Everything all right?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Sorry.
Okay, no problem.
I'll step outside. Hey, you're great, by the way. I just want to say that.
I appreciate it.
But a question. So he says he's not going to do anything until they move Stroman. But
that's
the problem,
what
I think,
yeah.
I think the problem is, though, is he's owed $18 million, correct?
Yep.
But if he pitches 144 innings this year,
correct,
then he's guaranteed 18 next year.
Correct.
And who wants that? Because he's like a fifth starter, right?
100%. That's the issue. It's not even so much the $18 million this year. It's that
right.
If you get him, if you're going to trade for Marcus Stroman, right?
Mm-hmm.
The entire reason for doing it is because he could be an innings eater for you. That's the only reason, like, that's the reason you would trade for him, whatever team, whether it's, like, say, the Cardinals, because they're trying to do that, him for Arenado swap or whatever. Like, if you're a team not contending necessarily, the only reason you would do it is to have him eat innings. And if he does that for you, you're going to have to pay him $18 million again next year. So that's why they're having the problem trading him. If this were a one-year contract at $18 million, the Yankees would eat 7 or 8 of it or 9 of it, split it down the middle, and someone would take him for $9 million. The problem is the 18 next year. You 100% nailed it.
So it's probably, what do you think? It's just somebody that eventually will do it, or...
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Right now, they're having trouble getting a trade partner. You'd have to get it to someone who really, like, to me, the best case scenario, and that's why I've been talking about him a lot. I think the best case scenario is Nolan Arenado, and because they have a desire to move him really bad, so he's making, I think it's like 72 or whatever. Let's just call it 3 for 75. He's making around 25. I'll double check it. I think it's 3 for 72. So he's making $72 million over the course of the next 3 years. And if you're going to trade for Stroman, I mean, I guess you could trade for him. And if you really got the money dump you were looking for, like, that's why it works with them, because they're looking to dump money. So if you trade Stroman and eat his $18 million, and then the Yankees will take that 3 for 72 minus $18 million. Like, is that enough for the New York Yankees, where you get him for $54 million over the course of 3 years? So it's 18, almost, wow, that's funny, $18 million per year. So would you pay Nolan Arenado $18 million per? And you just do the trade straight up. Now, apparently, there's been mixed reporting on this, but apparently they offered that deal to the Cardinals. Stroman for Nolan Arenado straight up. Now, if you get Stroman and you make sure, by benching him or whatever, you make sure he doesn't hit that innings limit, and you only have him for this 1 year, then you're saving $54 million if you're the Cardinals. That's what you're looking to do. And for the Yankees, you're only saving 18. You know, you're saving $18 million. You know, you're saving a couple million dollars this year. Well, you're saving $18 million off the full course of the $72 million from Nolan Arenado's money and making him an $18 million a year player. So if you make that trade straight up, the money's even this year, and then the next 2 years you're paying $18 million for Stroman. I mean, for Nolan Arenado. Are the Yankees willing to pay Nolan Arenado $18 million for the next 2 years? That's the question. And that's whether or not the Cardinals are going to be at their wits' end enough where they feel they have to move him and be willing to take that deal. So that would be, I think that's the best case. That's the one that makes the most sense to me. You trade Stroman for Arenado. The money is a wash this year. The Yankees figure out they don't need Stroman, so they're getting their third base option. The money is a wash this season. And then next season, it's $18 million per for Nolan Arenado at third base. You're paying for a 35, 36-year-old third baseman $18 million a year. 888-808-109. That's why I talk about Nolan Arenado, because that one makes the most sense to me, because I could see the Cardinals being interested in making that trade. Hugh in Pauling, New York. What's up, Hugh?
Hey, Chris, what's going on?
What's
good
up?
Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you.
I just wanted to talk to you about the Yankees a little bit there.
Yeah.
So you were touching on that a little bit. You know, I think the thing is, like, what people get frustrated with, like you said, and you, yourself, too, with Hal, is, like, listen, he's not, you know, and you can't say this about people anymore either. Like, the people, like, that whole crowd is like, oh, the Yankees just buy their rings anymore, because it's not true. Like, they're not like that anymore. It's just a different way of lifestyle that they handle themselves. Mm-hmm. But, like, the frustrating part with them is that, you know, it's like what you said. It's like last year they put all the chips on the table, got Soto. They knew he was, like, on a 1 year contract. Mm-hmm. You know, they put the chips all in. But, like, every other year, he's always been like, he doesn't make, like, that last final move, like, that could just make the team that much better. And I feel like they're doing the same thing again this year, just because right now, and I know that spring training is coming up and they still have spring training and make moves and things happen, but like, my frustration is, like, right now we have no backup catcher. There's no lefties in the bullpen. Mm-hmm. And we need a third baseman, because what they're doing, like, right now, and what they're saying, you know, is that they're going to give DJ a real shot. And that just seems to me, it's like the Aaron Hicks situation all over again, where, like, they were just running him down our throats. And don't get me wrong, like, DJ has been a great Yankee, but he's not the same player anymore. And he's not worth. But I think because they're paying him so much money, they want to keep him around, just like they were doing with Aaron Hicks that time. So it's like,
I do think
they're going to try to,
I do think it's a little different than Aaron Hicks in the one aspect. I doubt very much that he could be as bad as he was last year and continue to be run out there, because they have other options. They have Oswaldo Cabrera. Like, Hicks, I don't think they had another viable option in the outfield, and they ran him out just, like, way too much. I don't think he would get it. I don't think he gets as long a leash as Hicks got. I think you're talking about at the end of April, you know, maybe mid-May at the latest, if DJ is hitting like 190, he's not going to be on the team anymore. Like, I don't think it's going to be that long a leash as Hicks got. But yeah, they're willing to give it a try. They're paying him $15 million. And here's the other, like, here's the one thing that I will give them. If DJ, which again, I have no confidence that this happens, but if DJ finds himself and becomes the player, even close to what he used to be, because 2 years ago, not last year he was terrible from the jump. 2 years ago, he had a second half OPS of 800 and an on-base percentage of about 356 or so. If he becomes that player, that solves a lot of problems for the Yankees, and that's a really good player. That's probably better than the option they're going to get at third base now that me and you are clamoring for. So that's what they'll try and sell you on. Mm-hmm. They'll try and sell you on, he's a year removed from being an 800 OPS guy. If that happens again, he's the exact type of player we need. Contact player, singles hitter, on-base guy. You put him at the top of the lineup, and that solves a lot of the problems the Yankees have. But you can't count on that at all. So I agree with you, and I do agree. You know, last year we had that conversation forever, that it's an all-in season. It's, you only have Juan Soto for 1 year. You got to go all in. And I'll be totally honest with you, it's hard to still scream about that when they went to the World Series. Could they have been better? Yeah, but, you know, They lost to the Dodgers. It's not like they lost to the Arizona Diamondbacks, who beat the Dodgers last year or lost to a lesser team. They were in the World Series. So whatever moves they could have made at the beginning of the year, all-in move, do this, do that. I mean, they went to the World Series, and despite playing poorly, I mean, the Dodgers scored one more run than they did. They were in the series. They just blew it.